Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
The Rose Bowl. The game that inspired the college football bowl season has a long and storied history. The stadium itself is 100 years old, and in celebration of it, Pigskin Dispatch is assembling some of the top historians and authors to share the memories, people, and events that make the granddaddy of them all the special game that it is. Enjoy this Rose Bowl memory from PigskinDispatch.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal of positive football history. And we are still in Rose Bowl month, getting ready for the big game and the 100th anniversary of the stadium that houses it. Exciting times indeed. And we are bringing on historians and authors and experts on these great games. And we have one tonight from Indianapolis, Indiana, Troy Derengowski. Welcome to the Pigpen.
Darren, thank you. It's great to be with you. And boy, congratulations on all the great work you guys do. It's a lot of fun to watch every day. And I've always enjoyed history of sports, and what you guys are doing is incredible.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And you have quite the project yourself. So why don't you describe what your project is and what you do on a daily basis to our listeners so they can become familiar with it?
Well, it's something that in a lot of respects, I started about 38 years ago. That's when I started in radio, and I was working after I left the University of Wyoming, ended up back in Laramie covering the Wyoming Cowboys. And I did that for about 3 years. And at that point I said, you know what? I think I need a change. And traveling around Wyoming during the winter time ended up being a little bit more than I wanted. And I'd lived there and grew up in Colorado. So the wind and the cold and the snow and all that ended up getting me to the point where I needed a change. And then my program director at Kurt Gowdy Station there in Laramie, before he ended up passing away, and I had a chance to chat with him a few times. And I thought, you know, I wanted to cover Indiana basketball, especially Indiana high school basketball, because at that time it was a one class situation. And it stayed that way up until about 97, 96 at that time. And so it was kind of fun that I heard about it. Hoosiers, as you probably know, the movie Hoosiers, based on the team out of Milan. And I just fell in love with basketball, being a big basketball fan myself. And the next thing you know, I'm here in Indiana, and I've been here for the last 32 years. And so I've had an opportunity to cover everything from, again, high school basketball to college football to the Colts when they, of course, made their way here. They were a young team still in Indianapolis at that time. And so it's been quite an adventure. And then about 12 years ago, I started a project called RadioTroy.com. And at that time, I decided to get out of radio and get into the video portion of covering high school sports, which at that time, about 12 years ago, was really at the very edge of starting this. And now everybody seems to have some kind of a webcasting company here in the state of Indiana, probably across the country. And so we had to learn a lot in a short amount of time to get our product out there and try to perfect it, which it took a little bit of time to do. And so we did that for about 10 years with our website that contains information. It's nothing really all that special that most people are pretty much doing at this level for as much time as I can put into it right now. And so then we decided the town I was living in on the eastern side of the state, near, actually, we might as well have been in Ohio. And being a Michigan fan, that was really tough because there's too many Ohio State fans in my town. But then we decided we were going to come to Indianapolis. And then we teamed with a company here, which is what a lot of people talk about now, is Indiana SRN. When they started, it was Indiana Sports Radio Network. Well, they too figured out that after a couple of years, let's get into the video side of things. And the radio portion of it, which was internet radio, kind of fell by the wayside. And so we partnered together. And so I broadcast for them now. And we probably do, I would say, 99.9% video broadcasting now. And so we do small college, which is the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference here in this state. It's a Division III conference. And then we 350 games a year, anything from football, which is really big, but basketball, as you probably know, being in the state of Indiana, high school basketball is a religion. And then we'll carry on into baseball and softball and every track and field we'll end up doing. It's been a good partnership. And I think that if you look at the amount of games that we do each and every year, we are the most of anybody in the state of Indiana. We've also stretched from, if you're familiar with the Indiana, we're from Terre Haute to Richmond, from west to east, and from South Bend all the way down to Evansville. So we've actually branched out this year. And the good news is I don't have to do all going on. They have other people doing it. But it's been a fun adventure and a good partnership with the people there at Indiana SRN. And we're always looking to expand and just keep on going.
Well, very, very cool. Very interesting indeed. Yeah, I can, my exposure, just like you said, to watching the movie Hoosiers and see how passionate the fans are of basketball in Indiana. And of course, you know, the guys like Larry Bird coming from there and, the Pacers and everything else, Bobby Knight and those great days he had at IU. We can appreciate that Indiana loves their basketball.
Well, they do. And I'll tell you what, even though it took a little bit of time to get from the one class to the four classes that they do now, I think when it first started, people really did not like it at all. I mean, some of the small schools liked it because they had a better chance to win a state championship at a 1A, 2A, 3A level. But the history behind that movie is it's the David and Goliath. And people love that. I think even today, there's a lot of the purists that would love nothing more than to go back to that because they wanted to see that small school. And it happened more often than not. They may not have won a state championship, but they beat a lot of big schools on the way to. And there's no to see that school that has only a couple hundred students going up against maybe a school like a Lawrence North or somebody like that, of Annapolis, who has 5,000 students. And there's a lot of really very good basketball players, very intelligent IQ basketball players in Indiana. May not have the same number as some of the other states, but I can honestly tell you, I don't think there's another state anywhere that has any smarter players because they're coached so well. And it's just been a lot of fun to be a part of all these years.
Very nice. Well, you talk about that David and Goliath. Well, we almost have sort of that in our Rose Bowl segment that you're going to talk about today. We're going back in the 1960s, and maybe you want to set up who these teams are that we're going to be talking about for this 1967 Rose Bowl.
Well, I'll tell you what, the one thing about the state of Indiana is teams don't get to the Rose Bowl very often, as you probably know. So when Purdue gets to go there, it's a big celebration. But you go back to 1967, and what is really interesting about that team, and I, in fact, this just happened in the last couple of days, one of their running backs was named Leroy Keyes. And Leroy was just now inducted into the Purdue Hall of Fame. Now, I can't figure out why it took him so long, because he was really one of the best running backs he ever had. So if there were a lot of other running backs better than him that are in the Hall of Fame already, I want to know who they are. But he was really a very, very talented running back. Their quarterback, which most people know, now I'm a big fan of the Miami Dolphins when I was a kid, Larry Zonka, Paul Warfield, Jim Kick, and of course, when you think about Bob Greasy. Now, their cradle of quarterbacks is what they call, I know Miami of Ohio likes to claim that, but I think if you really look at what they do at Purdue, I think they're more of a cradle of quarterbacks of all the guys they've had. And he was an All-American, and he was just a very special player. You saw what he did at Miami. The odd thing that a lot of people don't know about that Rose Bowl team is if you didn't have what they call up, I guess they call it kind of at that time the runner-up bowl, because Purdue nowadays, they wouldn't be there. You don't finish second in the conference and would go to the Rose Bowl per se the way it was there for quite a while. Things have changed so much differently now that it just doesn't quite add up that you always go to the Rose Bowl. But you had Michigan State, who actually won the Big Ten that year. And because they had what they called the no repeat rule, they couldn't go back to the Rose Bowl. So Purdue was next in line, because Purdue, by the way, they lose to Notre Dame, they lose to Michigan State because Michigan State won the championship. But unfortunately, Purdue was able to go, or I shouldn't say unfortunately for Michigan State, they couldn't do it. And so I think that if you kind of look at it in that direction, you're thinking, well, they probably shouldn't have been there, but the way the rules were set up, they got a chance to go.
Wow, so a great opportunity for them by the misfortune of the rules for Michigan State. So, okay, but they're there, and you know they're playing in this big game. You know, back in that day, it's you know the premier game of the New Year's weekend or the New Year's festivities in college football, the Rose Bowl. You know, the granddaddy of them all. It's not called that for any no reason at all. So, who were they playing in this game?
Well, when they finally get there, they're playing USC. Yeah, Purdue goes to the Rose Bowl, and by the way, it was their first appearance in the Rose Bowl. So think about that. They only got lucky enough that Michigan State could not be in it, and then they get a chance to go, and their first trip is there. And I want to mention one other thing, if I can, because when you look back at that Rose Bowl, the theme of the Tournament Roses Parade, they called it the Travel Tales and Flowers. And the reason why, as you probably know, there are so many engineers that come out of Purdue that end up being working with NASA. They wanted to kind of put those two programs together. And so in 1967, you're talking about landing at some point a man on the moon. And you had the Soviet Union already with the Sputnik 1 making its way in 1957. So they had a lot of work to do. And so they kind of made that the theme of this Rose Bowl. So you have USC, the Pac-8 champions. I have to go date myself a little bit because I can remember when the Big 8 and teams like that were just the Big 8, not 14, 16 teams like you have now. But they played USC. They were 7-3 coming in, ranked number 10 in the country. And they ended up kind of in a kind of controversial way of getting in there as well. And for those of you that are old enough to remember, if you go back to that time, UCLA was actually ranked number 5 and beat USC 14-7 in the game that they had. So if you really think about it, Michigan State and UCLA probably should have been there, but it ended up being Purdue and USC. So because apparently from the information that I had seen that there was some kind of a mix-up or quirk in the schedule, USC played one more game than UCLA. So USC had a record of 4-1 in the conference, and UCLA had a record of 3-1. And so even though UCLA beat them, USC got a chance to go. And I guess there was some dispute before the USC-UCLA game that the winner would actually go to the Rose Bowl. But unfortunately, USC got the vote by, I guess, the AWU athletic directors, and they decided to let USC go. Notre Dame, by the way, if you don't want Miami throwing in a little Notre Dame information here, because this is kind of how USC finished out their season before they went to the Rose Bowl, is Notre Dame beat USC 51-0 in the final game of the year. So a lot of people thought that there was no possible way that USC should go to the Rose Bowl. It should have been UCLA, but unfortunately with the way the standings turned out, it didn't happen that way. So when you get to the game itself, and it was a defensive struggle, it was 7-7 at halftime. Purdue led 14-7 in the third quarter. You had under a couple of minutes to play in that game, and then USC scored a touchdown. Rod Sherman, 19 yards, made the catch. A lot of people know about Rod Sherman out of USC. And then, of course, John McKay was the head coach for the Trojan, ended up going to the National Football League. And then, of course, it ended up being a Purdue win, actually intercepted a pass in the end zone to preserve that 14-13 victory. So for the Boilermakers, don't make it to the Rose Bowl very often, but they were able to get it and get the victory there, which is good news because most of our teams in the state of Indiana, other than Notre Dame, don't make it to a bowl game very often.
Well, that's quite a game. If you're picking off a pass in the end zone to end the game, you knew they had to be starting to get within field goal range, and a 1-point edge is no match for a field goal score. That's for sure. So had to be exciting at the end.
Well, it certainly would be when you consider that there wasn't much of offense in that game either. And it was going to come down to the defense who was going to make the decision right there. So again, for Purdue to win a game like that, it kind of reminds me of IU when they ended up going to the Rose Bowl, I believe, the following year in 1968, and they were very excited about that as well. So, again, Rose Bowl doesn't happen very often with Purdue and IU, so when they get a chance to go, they certainly enjoy it.
I'll bet they do. So, special moment there with Purdue winning that game. So, great job on that. Love to hear that history, and we really appreciate you doing that. Troy, why don't you tell us that you've told us a lot about your projects and your website and what you guys do. Why don't you let the listeners know where they can see your work, and maybe if you have some social media you'd like to share with us, do that too so people can follow you.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we're very, well, being in Indiana, we're very heavy on Indianapolis sports, especially with, you know, Butler basketball and some of the things that are going on around here. We're only maybe 50 minutes away from IU, maybe about an hour away from Purdue, a little bit further to Notre Dame. But we tried it. What we have done, which is, I think, good for us in Indiana SRN, is we've had a really good relationship with all these sports information directors, and they've been kind enough. They'll send us information. My email is full all the time, even from all the small colleges that we've been in contact with. So we try to gather it all together. And the website is radiotroy.com. And it is, we get a lot of the national stuff too sent to us, but everybody can kind of do that. And so we try to keep the high school basketball scores, and we'll do a watch list for high school basketball and high school football. And again, we house a lot of the things there. In fact, we even house your guys' podcasts. I think just about every one of them, when we got in contact with each other a couple of months ago, you sent me all the logos. And because I thought what you guys are doing is so much fun that people want to understand what the history of sports is all about, is to really do what you do. And I don't, and again, I'm not trying to blow smoke here, but I don't see anybody else doing that the way you guys are doing it and doing it so much. So we've decided to house all of your websites and all your podcasts on radiotroy.com. Just go there. In fact, they're all listed right there on the homepage. And then we promote it every morning.
On behalf of everybody else, thank you for that. We really appreciate that.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. And I tell you what, if people are looking for something completely different, and I think the reason that I wanted to do it is when I came across your podcast and the information, it's not just the podcast, it's all the information you guys provide, which I'm sure isn't easy to do every day because that takes a lot of work. And I know you guys do a lot of research on that. So I think sometimes I'm used to be a basketball coach here in the state of Indiana too, which I was able to do. And then I'm also a basketball referee. And I think sometimes maybe some of the young people aren't looking back to see some of the history in sports, whether it's baseball or football or whatever. And I would like to see them do that because there was a lot of people that came before them. I hope they do realize that established a lot of the things that are happening that they're able to do today. And I'll talk to some of the young people and they'll say, well, I've never heard of that person. And yet I'm only talking about maybe 15, 20 years ago. So it really makes me feel old. So I think what you guys are doing is really special. So that's why I wanted to house it on our website to hopefully give you guys a little more publicity. And I hope it's working. And I always point out to other people, and I've got one guy that works with me now who's just a huge, huge baseball fan and loves that stuff. So I'm sure he is really, really very interested in that as well. So we're doing that. And most of it's just content. We don't do anything really, really all that special, anything more than anybody else. But for us, I guess I should add this. I think for us, newspaper has become almost a thing of yesteryear, because people, you don't get all the scores and people don't take delivery of newspapers anymore. So one thing we pride ourselves on and go out and collecting all the scores we possibly can from the high schools and the small colleges and stuff, because I think that makes a big difference. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid growing up, I was a newspaper person. I always grabbed the newspaper to read the box scores and see how the Reds and the Cardinals and some of those teams were doing, and how did Johnny Bench do that day, or Pete Rose, or whoever it might have been. So that always interested me. I don't think we see that much today. I don't know if most of the young people even know how to read a box score, let alone get one in their newspaper. So we try to move in that direction too. So.
Well, that's a great thing, because I can definitely remember those days myself, before the cable TVs and sports 24 hours and the internet. That's what you did. You listened to, you know, myself, I listened to a Pittsburgh Pirates baseball game on the radio in the 70s. And, you know, if I fell asleep during or had my parents made me go to bed, I got up the next morning and stuck down and got on the front porch and got the newspaper to see what the box score, just like you. And the thing I hated the most was they said late game, you know, done after print. Then you had to wait another day to see it. But I can appreciate what you're saying, and we appreciate what you guys are doing as well. You know, bringing that the great high school sports. I was a high school official myself, only in a game of football here in Pennsylvania, and I know how important that is. It's the purest level of sport there is high school sports. So really appreciate you guys covering that.
Oh, you bet. And then we appreciate that as well, because it's I've been around the state of Indiana enough and some of the other states to know that even in the radio business, a lot of stations just aren't carrying games anymore. It's just not profitable. People aren't listening. So I think that, you know, our ability to do that and put those kids on the air and do some of those things, because I still believe high school sports for now, still one of the purest sports we have. And I think I'd like to keep it that way. So, by the way, I got to mention, speaking of, I can beat you on the 70s, I can go back into the 60s. And I used to be able to have a little transistor radio, and I would keep it under my pillow, because my mom certainly didn't know that I was listening to games, you know, at 11 o'clock at night on a school night. So it probably would, God rest her soul, she probably wouldn't be too happy about that. But I was in Colorado at that time, and I could hear the Reds games. Marty Brenneman had just really started there at that time as a voice of the Reds, and he retired just a couple of years ago. But I'm listening to WW out of Cincinnati all the way out in eastern Colorado. So I had a chance to hear that very, very early back in the late 60s, early 70s. So
wow, that's a remarkable. That's back when they had radio reception that would travel more than a couple miles too. So transmitters were a lot more powerful back then.
But yeah, it helped having a 50,000 watt station too. So I'm sure that was a big help. But it was fun, because not only did I learn about baseball and learn about the Reds and Pete Rose and those guys, but then I'd start listening to Colorado Buffaloes football and Bob Martin and guys like that. And actually, Colorado was pretty decent back then, not as much as they would be now, but a lot of history back then. I really enjoyed it.
Well, it's great stuff, and really appreciate you coming on here, Troy, because really, really love the Rose Bowl coverage. Love what you guys are doing and hearing all about the Indiana sports, reminiscing a little bit when we were kids and how you had to listen to sports and get your information. Glad we live in this era too, because it's much, much better for the sports fan for sure. So Troy Derengowski, thank you so much for visiting us here in the Pig Pen, and hope to have you on again real soon.
Darren, thank you very much. You guys keep up the good work, okay?
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.